We resume our readings in the book of the prophet Daniel at the 11th chapter. And although this chapter in some senses is one of the more straightforward of the chapters in the second half of the book, from another standpoint it is one of the most bewildering because it contains so much of prophetic material. Now I want to suggest to you as we go through the various verses where history in fact has validated these prophecies. And whatever interpretation we care to put upon the events recorded in this chapter, and the interpretations are very wide and varied indeed, as I shall be pointing out a little later on, this much at least is true: they had their first fulfillment in the period of history stretching from the time of the Persian Empire right down to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes and Judas Maccabeus and his brothers in the terrible wars in which they were involved. And we shall be saying something more about that later, but I'll make mention of the various kings as we go on. You'll remember how in chapter 10 the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel, and in the last verse of the chapter he says, "I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth." This is not so much referring to the Bible as we know it, but the book of God. "I will show thee what is written down in the book of God concerning the future." That is to say, what has been foreordained by God. And this is taken up in chapter 11. After an aside in the first verse, "Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth." And that is equivalent to the future. "Now I will show you the future. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all." All the commentators take this as referring to Xerxes. "And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm, the kingdom, the empire of Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up," that is, in the realm of Greece, and this refers to Alexander the Great, whose dates 336 to 323, the great campaigns, "shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven." Now this was clearly fulfilled in the history of the period after Alexander the Great's untimely death through fever in a swamp-infested part of Asia Minor. His kingdom was in fact divided into four, under four rulers of varying powers: Cassander, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy. "And not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong." This is Ptolemy the First, one of the four to whom Alexander's empire was divided. "The king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, who happened to be Seleucus, who became the king of the north at a later stage." And this chapter is dealing with the warfare between the king of the north, the Seleucid dynasty, and the Egyptian dynasty, the Ptolemies, in the south. "The king of the north shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south," this was Ptolemy's daughter, whose name was Berenice, "shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. This refers to an abortive attempt to unify the remnants of Alexander's empire by uniting Egypt and Syria through this marriage of convenience. This took place in history. It also didn't work. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate. This is Ptolemy III, Berenice's brother, who shall come with an army and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land. But his sons, Seleucus and Antiochus III, shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south, Ptolemy IV, shall be moved with anger and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s. But he shall not be strengthened by it. Now, pause here a moment to see the real significance of all this bewildering lesson in history, for that's what it is. The king of the north, up in Syria, the capital Antioch, which was founded in 300 BC by one of the Seleucid monarchs. The king of the south, down in Egypt, the Ptolemy dynasty. And when they were fighting against one another and invading one another's territories, they did so through the promised land. This is the point. Israel, the glorious land, as it's referred to later on in the chapter, becomes the arena for all this conflict. This is the point of all this being here. It's not history as such, but history as it touched upon the life and experience of God's chosen people in God's covenanted land. This is the point of it all. This is the significance, as we shall see later on. Verse 13. For the king of the south, Antiochus the third, this is the one who was called Antiochus the Great, not Antiochus Epiphanes, we come to him later on, but Antiochus the third, the king of the north, shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north, that is Antiochus the third, called the Great, shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he, that is Antiochus, cometh against Ptolemy. He that cometh against Ptolemy shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. This is the final collapse of the Egyptian power before the superior might of the Seleucid dynasty. And he shall stand in the glorious land, that's Israel, which by his hand shall be consumed. This is the point of all the chapter, you see. The impact, the effect that all this rivalry of power has upon God's chosen people. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. And thus shall he do. and he shall give him the daughter of women, his own daughter, Cleopatra. Not the famous Cleopatra, this is an earlier one. Corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. And this attempted harmony through a marriage of convenience didn't come off either, because she took the side of the Egyptian monarch and was faithful to him against her own family and house. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Now this verse is said to refer to Antiochus the Great's attempt to push his empire westward. And he encountered the growing might of the Roman Empire, which at this time was beginning to rise up. And Antiochus suffered a resounding defeat at the Battle of Thermopylae in 191 BC. And the following year, at the Battle of Magnesia, Antiochus was absolutely routed by this prince who was the Roman general, Lucius Cornelius Scipio, one of the famous Scipio brothers, if you can remember the Roman history you did in the Latin class at school or at college. Then shall he turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall arise and stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes, Seleucus the Fourth, in the glory of his kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger, nor in battle. And in his place shall stand up a vile person. This is Antiochus Epiphanes, the villain of the peace, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Remember the little horn. The point about the little horn was that it didn't seem very big to begin with. But it was this little horn that eclipsed all other powers in his intensity and malignity. And the same here: he shall become small with a small, but become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south, another of the Ptolemies, with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And though these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. Isn't that very topical and up to date? Two great powers meeting round the conference table, agreeing in principle to peaceful coexistence, while all the time each of them is planning to stab the other in the back. How very up to date. Shades of Munich, shades of the many debates and the many agreements entered into by Hitler and Stalin and the others, and so on. How very up to date. Yea, all these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land, Antiochus Epiphanes, with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. Now notice here again, we're concerned with the impact of these world powers upon the people of God. His heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim, this is said to refer to the Roman power, shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved, and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. Being frustrated by the growing power of Rome, he comes back a disgruntled man, and vents his spleen on this little people, God's people, and does despite against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. That is to say, the renegade Jews in Jerusalem, who are quite happy to link up with this evil power. He shall do intelligence, have intelligence with them that forsake his Holy Covenant, the fifth column within God's people. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate in the temple, on the altar, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with mixed motives, flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. This is Antiochus Epiphanes. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. For he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end, now notice this, the expression here, and at the time of the end, this is what makes commentators think that Daniel's angel is looking away beyond Antiochus Epiphanes to much greater events in the future. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and of Libyans and of Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But the tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And we need to read into the four verses of chapter 12 to get the end of the story. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word.